Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And are you fully recovered? I think our world tour for April has ended.
I think you're right. We're just back from the Windy City. We had deep dish pizza. We had a good Italian meal. And I don't know how many interviews we did in one day when we set up for Training Pros and did that live broadcast.
So in April, we were in Dallas, Virginia, Boston, Chicago. Right.
And I built in a Chicago trip in between to go do the hymn stuff. And so
it's almost like a job.
I know.
but we're back safely in the studio.
Right. Now we can rest, right? We just have a normal segment. This is going to be a lot of fun. Right out of the box this morning, we have Director of Sales and New Business Development with Moose Exhibits. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. George Gordon. How are you, man?
I'm fine. Stone, how are you doing?
We are doing good. We are, like I said, fully recovered and excited about learning more about Moose Exhibits. Can you share a little bit about what you guys are up to?
Yeah, Lee. As a matter of fact, Moose Exhibits has been in business for about 12 years now. Mm-hmm. It's a local firm owned by Mark and Lydia Musso. They started out with a background in logistics for the trade show industry. Mm-hmm. And then right from there, they decide to give it a go themselves. And right now, we provide exhibit solutions for a number of diverse clients throughout the area and internationally.
So now, does a company come to you and they say, hey, we do trade shows, but you know, you got to put something in the booth, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you guys help them design it, or they just say, I want these five things, and you go and build it? How's it work?
A little bit of both. We do everything from soup to nuts. We have designers on staff. Mm-hmm. We also take care of everything from the conception right on down to the IND, that's the installation, dismantling, on the show floor.
Wow. And are you doing that here in town, or it's all over the world?
It's all over the world, interestingly enough. We might be Atlanta's best-kept secret because it seems like our audience tends to be from overseas. We do a lot of European clients, especially people that come over. They'll go to the Georgia World Congress Center for a first time, and they're looking for a good solution for them that's inexpensive, basically. Our niche in trade is rental. Uh-huh. We use a rental inventory, and that kind of has a stigma attached to it. But don't think of it as like pop-ups and things like that. It's a little bit more diverse than that. We have a number of different proprietary things that we use in terms of structure. And basically, we can customize a rental to look anything.
Right, because you go to, I mean, we do some work in trade shows, and we do live radio sometimes on the trade show floor. And you look around, and it could be as simple as a table in some things with some back, you know, some signage in the back. I mean, that's what probably 70%, 60% are just something basic like that. And then some extravagant ones could be like, you know, multi-level.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. There's a number of opportunities you have to do double-deckers at shows. You know, these are a lot of the big shows. Mm-hmm. You might see anything from Con Expo or Power Gen. These are large shows in the major venues across the nation and internationally. Right down to your smaller POPs, you know, we'll go to specific places.
They just have their sales guy comes in here and pop something up.
Pretty much with a banner stand or something like that, yeah.
And gives away an iPad or something.
Yeah.
So now when you're working with a client, are they open to these kind of bigger ideas?
Well, it takes a little bit of persuasion on our part sometimes. As with everything else these days, money's always a concern. You know, the chief financial officer wants to make sure he gets a good return on investment. Right. So he looks for the
how
most.
How do they determine? Like, because some things are like, oh, is the objective to get lots of people in the booth? Because some of the people in that regard, they'll put like a pretty girl shining shoes and you get a lot of people in the booth. But are those the right people in the booth? Like, how do they kind of manage that?
Generally, when you go to a trade show, you kind of had your targeted audience. You know, a trade show is very, very good for any business that's trying to reach out to their customer base.
Right.
Because
they're all there. Right?
It's an opportunity. You're all there. You're all sharing the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you a unique opportunity to reach the most in the least amount of time. So they try to capitalize on that.
And then so when you're trying to sell these kind of a cooler experience, mm-hmm. you have to kind of bring it back to ROI, right? They're asking, like, how is that going to make me more money, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we try to tie in the design of the booth with the functionality of the booth. You know, if it's promote a product, of course, the product takes center stage,
right.
And we'll arrange the booth to feature that product that way. It might be a service, mm-hmm. too. So it all depends on what they're trying to sell.
And don't you get into you have to protect your brand, right? Like if your brand is a high-end thing, you can't have a low-end experience at the trade show.
No,
right?
No, it's very, very important in branding specifically. Everybody is there. If you ever go to a major trade show, which I'm sure you've been to, you'll see a number of different things. There's a hierarchy of graphics that's taking place where the brand is, they'll use hanging signs.
It could be hanging
signs
from the ceiling, oh, right?
Yeah,
spinning
absolutely.
Around, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of things can
yeah.
happen.
Lights, action, you name it.
But I would imagine with a firm like yours, you can kind of increase their bang for their buck in maybe a smaller space, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not just a smaller space. We could do it for larger spaces,
right.
too. But the important thing to remember is, and let's take an example, if you're coming over from overseas,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to bring your booth, which is over there, it's going to cost you an enormous
like
amount of money to ship it.
Just to get it over here.
Just to get it right. over there. And then, of course, you know, there are certain rules and regulations that are attached to every show.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start to add up all the fees, you know, material handling, which basically means that they're going to move your stuff off the truck and onto the show floor,
right.
you're going to pay for that.
Right.
You're going to pay for electrical. You're going to pay for everything under the sun.
Right.
You know, they start to look at it and they say, you know, how can I cost effectively do this? I have to be at this show because my competition is there. So what they'll do is they'll come to us and they'll ask for a rental solution. I mean, now, mind you, we do customize and we do build booths too.
Right.
We fabricate a booth. But it's so much easier and more cost effective if you have somebody, a vendor, perhaps somebody that's in town that can give you exactly what you want for the price that you want to sell it.
Right. And then they don't have to deal with that hassle yeah. of shipping it over here.
That's correct. Yeah.
I want to hear about the Final Four.
Sure.
How did that Final Four win?
Right, because you worked that thing, right?
We did. And it was an exciting opportunity for us. And I guess the story goes back to about 2 or 3 years ago when the Dodgers played Atlanta here.
Mm-hmm.
Turner and the great people over there, Tom Sahara, who's vice president of operations and technology, had tasked Eddie Daniels, his senior project manager over there, go out and find somebody local. Look, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring a unique way of presenting this entertainment to our audience.
Right.
So what we did is we were asked to position our trust. Incidentally, we have probably the largest inventory of trust in the Southeast region. So
and
that's
what's
probably
why
it came to us. The metal, you'll see the concerts and things like that is basically metal pieces that are put together
right.
to support certain
they
things.
They support. Think,
right.
right.
And they teamed up with a firm out in California to actually arrange a trust cam that went through the entire outfield between the outfield fence and the bleachers.
Oh, really?
So we had 3 feet of space in order to put this in. We had to curve it. And I think it was about 140 feet long, 150 feet
wow.
long. And we had to be able to take it apart for the ground crew to come in because it spanned that area and then get it back up again when the ground crew came back.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we actually had to cut our truss and rearrange a certain type of attachment in order to make that happen very quickly because
right.
it keeps on moving. And there were shots that people probably didn't even realize, but it was a way to take a look at the game from a different perspective. They were able to zone in from the outfield right to the pitcher's mound, right to the catcher, you know, to any play on the field.
So there were cameras mounted on them?
Mounted, yeah.
It was
called
control?
A truss cam. Yeah, it was the first time ever been done in baseball.
Uh-huh.
And so after the success of that, again, the Final Four came up. TBS has the contract, I believe,
right.
for the next 6 to 10 years for this. And sharing it with CBS, of course. And, you know, Tom tasked Eddie, and Eddie said,
hey, work there.
We got to go to Moose. So, again, we were asked to team up with a team out of New York
right?
Called AMV, All Mobile Video, and Tom D'Angelo and his group up there. And they had something known as the Black Cam, and basically it's called that simply because it's you don't even see it on the floor. It's mm-hmm. all black. And we had to arrange two sets of truss in order to support their track and the camera, both 140 feet long or 130 feet long, one in Houston for the Southern Regional, and the other, of course, in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be done simultaneously. So, and our, you know, they came to us, we supplied the truss for the camera, and then we had to actually build a housing around it and leave a 2-inch strip along the top So the camera, which sometimes went as fast as 13
right,
feet a
it was
second,
moving. Right.
Yeah, was able to run unencumbered and fairly well stabilized.
And silently, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing. It was just amazing.
And then it had to be like incredible. There was a safety element too, right?
That you
had to,
there was
in basketball, they were right on the floor. The people are right there.
Yeah, we're right next to. We were located between the court and, of course, the press tables.
Right.
And there was very, very little room. The box itself might have been 14 inches wide. Probably tops. And with that 2-inch span, don't forget, if a player runs off the court, he's got to be able to stand on top without right. crashing through. So we had to engineer it, you know, and everybody was
How'd
a little
those
nervous.
Tests go?
Well, I'll tell you, everybody was a little nervous until a player from one of the teams, and I believe it was Kentucky or Duke, had actually come over. And we have a picture of a cameraman who's taking a picture of the camera and this guy standing on the box.
On
and we're like,
it?
Oh, no.
Didn't count on that, right?
Yeah, but it was great. It held.
Well, the theme, though, that I'm hearing in all this is that you guys play pretty. Well, that's what my grandmother would say. You play pretty. That you play pretty with others. I mean, you collaborate with other firms and you guys get the job done.
Oh, yeah. It's an incredible, as I said before, team effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take a look at just from Turner's side, I know I was talking to Tom Sahara, and he said he had as many as 1,000 people employed on this project. Wow. And they begin a year out. I mean, they've already started planning for next year mm-hmm. in Houston. So it's pretty exciting and able to bring all these technologies together.
Right.
Cross your fingers and hope mm-hmm. that it works, you know, and it fulfills every obligation right. possible from a safety standpoint, from a technological standpoint. It's pretty good.
And that it's amazing because, like, that wasn't your core business. Like, this just kind of organically happened,
no,
right?
No, it was a strange project that we just happened to be there at the right place at the right time and took advantage of it. And I'll tell you, it really paid off well.
Right. And it speaks to the culture of your company that you collaborate well and that they would trust you in this kind of a different area of expertise. And it's such a high profile.
Yeah, well, you only get one chance. So after they saw the work that we did with them at the Braves right. at Turner Field, they decided, hey, let's do it again. We know these guys know what they're doing, and we just have an excellent team.
But just going from together. Baseball to basketball, I mean, that was in the outfield far away. You know, it wasn't like on top of the action. Like in this environment, you were like
we were right there
in the midst
yeah.
of all yeah. the chaos.
Yeah, it makes you nervous, but, you know, it's rewarding. If you know what you're doing, yeah. which our guys do, then we're all set.
So now is this a whole new line of business for you guys? Are you going to more sporting events?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm fairly certain there's talks in place right now that we're going to accompany Turner in the succeeding year. So,
right.
Yeah.
But then it could open up all, I mean, why limit it to just, you know, these kind of sports?
Like well, we look at all sorts of different opportunities, and it's part of the benefit of having so many diverse products at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark and Lady have been very, very smart about their business, and they like to do these various events. I mean, we, as you said before, it's not just trade shows; it's sporting events.
Right.
It's everything under the sun where you can actually exhibit or just have an event.
Well, show off your stuff. I mean, it
much.
Doesn't matter what venue it is.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
So it must be exciting for you as the business development guy, right? There's
well,
never a dull moment.
No, no, it isn't. It always keeps me on my toes for sure.
But the engineers, you know, when he gets back to the shop, they run for cover, you know, because here he comes with another crazy idea.
Yeah,
and you know right. what? And to tell you the truth, Stone, they love it. They love it.
Well, I'm sure there was a big sense of pride.
Oh, I'll bet.
I mean, being involved with an event of that magnitude.
Just to be something like this, I mean, you know, as you said before, for a sporting event, you know, that ranks right up there with the Super Bowl
right.
or something like, you know, across, everybody watches this thing. And sure. it's not just the Americans. You know, everybody loves basketball.
Right. It's
and,
international.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. They had 72,000 people at the stadium there at Indianapolis
right.
for the Final Four.
Yeah.
But I think it was the most watched ever. Cable broadcast for the NCAA.
I think we can lay that on you. That's because of you.
Well, no, it's not because of me. It's because of our team
with the Gordon
altogether.
Technology.
It has very little to do with me. I'm just a front man here.
So your backstory, what did you do before you got into this line of work? Has it been a natural progression or was it a little bit of a circuitous route to get you here?
Well, I've been in the business for 37 years.
Wow.
And I started out in the Northeast. I'm originally from Trenton, New Jersey. And I started with a small mom and pop there by the name of Vital Displays, which is no longer in business. They were absorbed many, many years ago.
Well, once you left, I mean, the whole thing fell apart, right?
not quite. You're really, it's getting hard to talk. I'm starting to swell up here. But anyway, Basically, I was always a graphics guy, and I just walked in off the street, and I decided to say, hey, you know, I'd like a job here. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Sure, everybody would like a job here. But I was able to start on the boards, as they say, in our industry, and pull together things. And this is, I want to tell you how long ago and the things we used to do. I feel like I was carving in stone back then. But the technology started to increase. I went from there, and then I joined a place called... used to be called Impact Unlimited. Now it's called Impact X FX or something like that. I've been out of that company for a long time. But I was there for 16 years, and I took over as the manager of their graphics department, both 2D production and design. And then I went to Jack Morton Worldwide out of New York and worked there for a number of years. And then we moved down to Atlanta. And I was looking around, and I had noticed... the name Moose Exhibits, which is so unique.
Right.
Because you think, what is that?
What do they do, right?
You know, what do they do? And it got my curiosity piqued, and I called the organization, and I was fortunate enough to get a job over there. And again, it's just a small firm. It's not very big, but very successful when you think about all the work that they've done over the past 12 years. So I was fortunate. I went from graphics, and then I just got into sales and new business development.
So how was that transition? Was that difficult?
It wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. Naturally, when I worked at Jack Morton, I tried to expand their business, and it was kind of a unique situation because Jack Morton being worldwide and part of a IPG, which is
it's a
big network. It's a
large conglomerate, right.
Yes, exactly. They actually, the various offices used to bid out their work. And then when I went to the exhibit office, which was located in Robbinsville, New Jersey, we had a plan that basically said, hey, look, we can sell our company our work. This is a unique idea. We got to do this. So that's exactly what we did. And
so you got a taste of selling somewhat, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And then here was, it was a learning curve, but they make it very easy, you know, sometimes.
But I'm sure the background in design helps you in selling because you have that perspective.
Well, it's always about the vision.
Right.
And one of the first things that sells a client is the vision.
Exactly.
Hey, we can make you look better than anybody else. Right. And we can do this and do that. And it gets real whiz bang and everybody gets interested.
Right.
You know? And then we talk about price. And of course, that falls apart. But
you're
really
probably
good.
Able to articulate the vision and kind of you can keep them within the lanes a little bit and say what's possible, not possible, like just off the top of your head.
The street cred, right? With the graphics back.
It's very handy. It's very handy, and it's good because you can deal with a realistic perspective when it comes to pricing and what you can do. You know, everybody wants the moon, and we'd love to give it to them, but at all costs, and you have to mind their budget.
And you got to balance that. You know, we can do this, but you know it's going to cost this.
Exactly,
you got to kind of manage that expectation. So now, what's ahead for you guys?
Well, I think we're going to keep on going. We've just come off of a very, very successful show down in Miami called MRO. It's for aftermarket in the aeronautical industry. We had two booths there, very, very successful. Again, the clients were very happy. A lot of creativity exhibited there. And one of the best things that happens is that not only designing the booth, but actually being able to send our crew, which generally we can do in the Southeast, Florida is a right to work, so we don't have to deal so much with the unions.
Great,
by the way.
That's a whole other animal.
Yeah, that's a whole other animal.
McCormick Place, that's a different environment.
Oh, we won't go there. Yeah, great stories about that. Chicago's great too. But anyway, because we're able to use our expertise, and that's one of the unique things, you know, as I started out saying, you know, I've got 37 years in the industry, but Moose Exhibits has a lot of people that are just like that, had been in our industry for a number of different years. You know, we don't get rookies in our business and last long.
And that's good because they can hit the round running, you know.
I mean, you know, our crew that's on the floor, you know, from that to our business management has just been, you know, it really, really benefits the client. Mm-hmm. So they look for good things.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more, have a conversation with you or somebody on your team? Website, email?
Yeah, the website is mooseexhibits.com. And they can reach me via email at george@mooseexhibits. And pretty much, or you can call 770-709-5500.
Now, is there a sweet spot of industry you guys work in, or you work all over the place?
We work all over the place. We'd like to work as much locally as possible,
But so you're looking for more Atlanta opportunities?
Yeah, we are. We are. And we're hoping that this radio
help program, get the word out a little absolutely, bit here in
be
town.
Be a stepping stone for us, yeah.
And then, so what type of companies here in town would you like to work with?
It doesn't really matter. We tend across the board in terms of industry. There's no certain niche. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were in New Jersey, we'd probably do pharma, but right. but we're not. You know, we're here, mm-hmm. and it gives us an opportunity.
But you mentioned aerospace.
Yeah, but we do a number of different things. The power industry is big for us. Mm-hmm. We're into some medical here, obviously, you know,
right.
things like
no,
that.
No, it's a real hub, right? The healthcare IT here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Technology, work in any of the technology?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are. We did a couple of unique projects for a couple of firms that are on the west side, you know, attached to Georgia Tech.
Right. Right.
You know, so anything that we can do, we will.
Well, I'm looking forward to broadcasting live at a big show from a Moose exhibit, right?
There you go.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like the Monday Night Football setup and the flat screens behind you and all that stuff. So maybe we'll get a chance to do that.
I'd love it. I'd love it. Believe me.
All right. That's mooseexhibits.com.
Well, thanks so much for coming down this morning. This has been a fun conversation. You going to hang with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely, Stone. Thank you.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, actually, we have a friend of the family back in the house. We've got Barbie Brown. She's the one who provided us with our next guest. But let's check in with Barbie first. How you doing, Sunshine?
How are you guys?
Doing good. So good to see you.
You too. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be great. You brought with you a branch partner with Alcova Mortgage, Mr. Mike Uzel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you, man. Did you learn anything in that last segment? You got some ideas about showing off Alcova the next time you're with a crowd?
Absolutely. We're just going to just get with him, get a big exhibit, and just...
knock it out, huh?
Absolutely.
I'm excited to see how you're going to use that truss system.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All the way around the house, right?
Well, we build the transporter our customers back and forth.
There you go.
Through closing,
yes.
Right? Maybe.
Just right to their new house.
That's perfect.
So Alcova Mortgage, what are you guys doing for folks?
Well, what we specialize in is residential mortgage all over the Southeast. But my job here is in Atlanta, Georgia, to help every Georgia resident achieve a new home or refinance their existing home to help lower them, save them costs, and get them excited about owning again, where I know we've had some problems in the past and people were renting and now back into buying. And it's a great feeling to take those customers back and
so
get
you,
them a new
you've
home.
So you've seen kind of the pendulum swing the other way now?
Absolutely. The new home market is just, it's going crazy. Everybody, people can't find homes. There's not enough, you know, listings out there. And even when they're just selling so fast that now's a good time to sell because they're actually getting over market value for them.
So now are there parts of the city you work in or all over the place?
We actually work all over Georgia. We're not specific, but my office is in Kennesaw, Georgia. So we actually like to help out our community. We have agents specialized all over Georgia. So when you come to us, we're going to get you with an agent that is specialized in your area, not somebody in Decatur coming all the way up to Kennesaw. So we try to help you guys out. So they know the area, they're in the community, they live there. They can help you show you where you want to be or help you purchase your area right where you're at.
So now are you finding that the mortgage people are getting more involved in the house buying process where that used to be like maybe real estate agent driven?
Well, they are because a lot of people... You know, like I said, what happened in the crash and with people's credit. So what they're doing is they're reaching out to us first to make sure what they can qualify for.
Oh, so ahead of time before they even start looking.
A lot of times, yes, they're getting pre-approved way before they go because with the programs changing vastly, they want to make sure what they can afford, how much they can afford before they actually just go out and start looking so they don't overextend like
or
they
waste
did
a
in the
lot
past.
Of time, right?
Yes, agents like to make sure that you're pre-approved before they go driving you around in this traffic.
Are people still using agents to drive around, or are they doing a lot of stuff online now?
Well, I would say the best way is to use the agent still. They've got so much information at their fingertips that they can find homes that may not even have reached the market yet. So they're able to specialize in what area, what school you want to be in. A lot of that online isn't as good as an actual agent that lives in that community, knows what schools are good for your, you know, that you want to be in. So I would recommend using an agent.
Now, would the online have accurate, like, comps because it's changing so rapidly?
Well, they'll give you an idea. It's not going to be 100% accurate because there's a lot of things that you won't see. I know there's Zillow out there and things that people can use, but it's not 100% accurate as far as if there's new homes or if those homes have been sold and how quick it's updated on what the purchase price was.
Now, do you have any tips for somebody who maybe is like 6 months away from wanting to buy something? How do they get their credit right or you know, be prepared to have an initial conversation with you guys?
Well, call the earlier the better.
So you're okay with them calling, you know, it's, even if they don't need this for 6 months or so?
We've helped clients that may have taken up to 12 months to get into a home.
Oh, wow.
What we do is we take a look at their credit. We try to help them better their credit, show them what they need to do to get into their home of choice. So the time frame just depends on each client.
That's encouraging to me, though, that you feel like you have some runway if you need to make some adjustments. So it sounds like your organization is willing to work with people over a little more extended period of time maybe than some. I wanted to ask you, with this recovery, this bounce back, isn't there a lot more competition? I mean, how do you differentiate yourself in a market that's it's got to be just rife with competition, yeah?
Well, actually, the competition is not gone up. It's gone down a little bit just because, you know, they've changed everything. When it all happened, now you have to be individually licensed. So some of the...
Weeded out a lot of people that couldn't get
licensed. So not only do you have to be federally licensed, you have to be state licensed in order to do a mortgage here in the state of Georgia as well as anywhere other state in the United States. So it's changed a lot of things that way. And what separates us from everyone else is you just have to know more. Every situation is different. You don't get the carbon cop customer that's the same 20% down 800 credit score. You get borrowers from all different avenues that may have had a little sidetrack in their life, and we're here to help them.
Yeah, who knew it went up to 800? I've never seen that number on any of my paperwork.
Well, give me 30 days. I'll show you how to get that up.
So what's a pro tip to improve your credit score?
Well, the pro tip that I would say is there's a lot of things. Is first of all, is you want to look at what the revolving credit, I would say, is your biggest thing. It's 33% of your score. So what people don't realize is they get a credit card. Let's say they have a $500 credit limit,
right,
and they use it every month to the max. So when your credit is pulled, it's going to go off of your availability. So if that's 33% of your score, if you've got, let's say, one credit card that you owe $450 on, that's a $500 limit, it's going to hurt your score. Mm-hmm. So just by knowing, call your credit reporting agency or your credit card companies and ask them when they report. So give you an example, if they report on May 20th, you don't want to pull your credit on May 19th.
Right. Maybe the 22nd
would be better. The 22nd would be much better. So because your score is going to fluctuate every month.
Right.
And you have three, so they're going to go off the middle of the three. So you have to really kind of work all of them, not just one.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you need that lead time, right, to kind of get your ducks in a row?
As far as to look, I mean, some people don't just go get pre-approved and buy a house the next day, even though I've seen a lot of that happening lately. But, you know, it's good to get pre-approved, kind of get an idea on what you can afford, not just credit-wise, but income. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that go into a mortgage more so than just your credit score.
Now, what about self-employed people? Don't they have a challenge with if they're a 1099 employee?
Well, the challenge isn't there, but what they've done in the past is self-employed really doesn't, they like to hide their income, as we would say. So now it's getting harder that you have to actually pay more taxes, show more income.
In order to afford
in
the
order
house.
In order to get approved, correct.
And that takes time, too. Like, that's not something you flip a switch to make happen, right?
Well, your self-employed borrowers are usually in the business for 12 to 24 months. We are starting to see a lot of programs come back. I mean, believe it or not, mm-hmm, you can get one day out of a bankruptcy or one day out of a foreclosure. 6 months bank statement programs are coming back. So they're starting to loosen up a little bit, but I don't know if they'll ever come back with the no income.
And they just call and say, yeah, that's how much I make, and they approve you?
Just shake your hand. You're done.
That's, and you're laughing, but it wasn't that far removed from reality a few years ago.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, if you look at that situation, though, it's if you lose your job, no matter self-employed or employed, and you can't make your house payment, and I think that's what really hit the industry hard was is everybody was losing their job. There was downsizing going on with Ford and everywhere else. So it's not that people put them in the wrong mortgage. If you look at the statistics, it still shows that those people still paid their home. It's the ones that lost their jobs that had no other choice.
Right, and they didn't have, you know, maybe they were a little overextended, and that was just enough to make it difficult.
And then the tailspin came.
Right. So now, are you guys hiring? Because if it's growing this much, you must need some more.
Are you jumping ship? You're not going to do this thing? You're going to go work for
this guy? Seems very attractive.
Yeah, no kidding.
Actually, you know, you're always looking for good people. We try to, for me, I want to put people in the community. So if in my Kennesaw branch...
You want Kennesaw people that kind of know the schools, know the area.
For that branch. And then right. We're looking to expand into Alpharetta, Roswell, as well as Duluth. So, yes, we'd like to keep everybody local as much as we can because we build it with the agents. It's not the refinance boom, as they would call it. That comes and goes. Mm-hmm. So for us, we really specialize building relationships with real estate agents in the area that they live in and helping them grow their business as well.
So now how do you work with the real estate agents to help them? Like, because serving is an important kind of value proposition for your firm, right?
Well, real estate agents, they need our help just as much as we need theirs.
Right.
They've got a lot of clients because they do a lot of advertising themselves. So they will come to us or refer their client to us, and then we'll go ahead and get them pre-approved. So that way, like you said, they're not out wasting their time driving around with someone that can't maybe quite afford a house today. Mm-hmm. So they get pre-approved through us. We make it very simple process. We do it. I mean, we've done pre-approvals at 9 o'clock on Sunday night for our agents. So we make it very easy for them to get a hold of us and get pre-approved. And then that way they can go out and find a home that makes them happy. And that's the great thing about my job is when I get to go to the closing and I attend every one of them and get to shake their hand and congratulate them, you'll see some people that have just changed their lives because they're getting into a home.
And then they don't like surprises. So if you can eliminate some surprises, that's really serving them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just honesty and communication, which is the biggest two things that I think a lot of people ruined our industry. Just not telling them the truth from the start to the finish.
Right. And really, kind of like you said earlier, about serving them and giving them the best, giving them what they need.
Yeah, everything comes with communication. We all the time throughout the loan process, they have emails being communicated with, and I think that's just the number one thing that agents love to see us with their clients.
Right.
Now, do you lend out of state? I don't have Lee Cantor kind of money, but I'd like to have a little place down in Pensacola where I grew up. Do you lend out of state?
Well, currently we're expanding, but we are in Georgia, Tennessee, North, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and D.C.
Okay, so I'll go to the mountains instead.
We can definitely take care of you there.
But also just a couple of quick questions around leadership, because here we've been 16, 17 minutes, and I haven't heard a single word from Barbie. How do you do that?
Well,
she's been in the studio a half a dozen times. That's never happened before.
She sits back and just laughs, and that's what we got. That's what we have her here for. She's just a supporter. Right. Get her some pom poms. There she is. She really helps the gap with communication with recruiting as far as new employees.
So you're very involved with the recruiting, Barbie.
Absolutely,
because that's important, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, because we definitely want to make sure that we hire the right people. So we do a lot of background check. Make sure that this is what they want to do, and they're good to the community, and because that's what we give back. We try to give back with charitable donations as well, because we can only grow our company as we grow the community itself.
Right. That's a good point.
Well, it has to be very rewarding work, I would think, because, I mean, this is a big deal to a family, to a couple, to an individual when you go purchase a home. Certainly if it's your first home, but even if it's your second or third home, this is a huge life event.
Right, it's a milestone event.
Well, it's one of the biggest purchases you're going to make in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And for me, the amount of stories that I could share, we'd be here for days, which we could do a marathon if you'd like. Just the stories that I hear.
I have an exhibit company that'll underwrite it. So, yeah.
We'll have him build the whole thing, and we'll just sit down and do a 24-hour marathon.
There you go.
But just that's why I do what I do. I've been in the finance industry over 20 years, and when I go to every closing, it's different. It's never the same. We just had two yesterday that I was able to change both their lives, start their new lives, and it's just a great feeling that when everything's all done, the amount of support you get, the hugs.
Right. I'm sure that there's tears sometimes.
Oh, there are a lot of times.
It's very rewarding. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why it's just everyone is different. There's no two I don't do the same. I don't sell the same thing every time.
Right.
So it's really rewarding.
Well, I tell you, it's been very rewarding this morning to have you come in and share your story. Thank you, Barbie, for setting it up.
Absolutely.
And thank you, Mr. Uzel, for being here with us.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
So before we wrap, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch, website, email.
Yeah, the easiest way for us is you can go to my website at goalcovamortgageatl.com. You can go and apply online. The nice thing is when you do, it sends me an email, so we get back to you right away. And you can call us locally here in Georgia at 678-701-1453.
And then if somebody wanted to pre-qualify, how long does that process take?
Very quickly. They just go onto the website at goalcovamortgageatl.com. They hit apply now, fill out the full application. I get the email right away when it's complete. Mm-hmm. We then pull them in, get them pre-approved within the first 30 minutes.
Wow, that is amazing. That is good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
All right. Thank you. And to all of our guests, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.